I've come to realize over my life that because of the way the world and people are, sometimes we're not able to trust everyone and everything. And because of that, we sort of close ourselves off and we say, well, I can't let anybody into my life because I don't want to be hurt again or hurt for the first time or whatever. So we sort of close ourselves off. Can I say to you this morning that you are standing or sitting in one of the safest places this morning that you could ever be? This is a safe place. And it's a place where nobody's judging you. Nobody's looking at you and saying, well, you look different than me, so I don't know if I'm going to trust you. You're in a safe place. And I think it's the kind of place that you can open up and just let the Spirit do what He wants to do in you and through you today. And if Jeff's with us today, come on, Jeff. I'm fixing to hand him this mic. One reason we love for Jeff to come because we trust Jeff. I believe that Jeff has prayed for this service for today and what God wants said. And God has a word or many words for us today. And what I'm asking us to do is feel the safety of the place you're in. Open up your heart so that the word that Jeff is bringing from God today can settle in your heart and do something powerful in every one of us today. Can you do that? Can you open yourself up? I think if we open ourselves up, we will be surprised of the things that God will do that we've stopped asking for. Because we've closed ourselves up because it didn't happen when I asked before. I think today is a day, I'm feeling this very strongly, today is the day that if we will open ourselves up and just let God come in and do what He wants to do, we'll receive a lot of those things we've been asking for over and over again. You just have to open up. Can you do that? This is one of the most gifted group of people anywhere. But it's not... We're not here looking at them and saying, well, they're good. They can do this. He can do that. Let's look up this morning and say, God, here I am. I'm opening up to you. What can you do in me that can make me a better person? Are you ready? Jeff, we're glad you're here. Thank you for coming. We love you.
Love you.
Listen closely. Let God work in you.
I just want to encourage you to be bold today. If the Lord starts moving on you, we've learned to do church in a way where there's speaker and there's spectator. And I want to encourage you, when the Lord starts to move on you, if it's in the middle of speaking, if something is happening, don't feel like you have to just sit in that chair. Like, we respond to God. Like, you cry out to the Lord. Like, don't wait for a sermon or a message to get to completion. If you have to come running to the front, if you have to get on your face, if you are wailing, you have permission to wail. It doesn't matter. We're not going to be doing church in the same way anymore. Holy Spirit, God, more. Lord, we want all of you. I normally have a rag for sweat, and I think it's going to be tears today. I want y'all to know I love you. Like, how much I love you. I'm not here every Sunday. I don't live in this state. Some of you I've spent more time with than others, but it's like I'm starting to understand how Paul said he carried them in his heart. Blake gave me a word at the beginning of the year, and it was a simple word of you're going to have an encounter with the love of God. I said, okay. And he gave, you know, a specific time where this would happen. And it happened. But it didn't come the way that I expected it to. Like, if somebody tells you that you're going to have an encounter with God's love, you think, oh, there's going to be a bubble of love that's going to come down and I'm just going to feel the warm fuzzies. And he didn't come like that. He came with a sword. And if you want to know what it felt like dying. I actually felt, you weren't there, I was in prayer by myself, and I felt like I was dying. And see, it was a good thing that some of you weren't there. Because if you saw what that looked like in the natural, your natural, your heart, your flesh, your compassion, you would want to hold on to me and bring comfort. But see, in that moment when I'm under the conviction of God, I don't need your comfort. He's cutting the flesh off of my heart, and I don't need you to wrap your arms around and hold it in place when he's trying to get rid of it. Moses had just had the encounter, the burning bush encounter. He had the encounter where the Lord gives him these unique signs for Pharaoh. And he goes back to the camp, and then it says in your Bible and in my Bible that the Lord came to kill him. And Zipporah knows what's happening and runs and circumcises her children. Throws the foreskin at the ground and says, "You've become a bridegroom of blood." And the Lord doesn't kill Moses. See, what we're entering into as the body of Christ, you can't step into it with any kind of uncircumcised heart. The Lord isn't going to allow it. We have to invite him. He doesn't even force it on us. We have to make the choice of surrendering to him. See, when I was having this experience, and I don't talk about a lot of experiences, when I'm having this happen, I feel this deep cut. And while I'm feeling this, I'm trying to understand, God, what is happening? And he keeps showing me my family. He shows me my family as a whole. He shows me individual members. Do you love me more than these? And I had allowed in my heart, my family had become an idol where I had put them in a higher position than the Lord. But after this experience, I just went home, just held my family. I had to repent for putting them in a higher position. But then after I repented, I realized my love for them was deeper and greater than it had ever been. See, when we get things into proper alignment with the Lord, he starts to answer the prayers. And a lot of times, the things that we ask for in ignorance. And he allows us to ask in ignorance, and then he hides the answer in a place we don't expect. Like, if somebody told me, hey, you're gonna have an encounter with God's love, and by the way, it's going to hurt, and you're gonna feel like you're gonna die, I would have been a lot less likely to receive it. See, we've stepped into a new era. Like today is Rosh Hashanah. It is a new era in the body of Christ. And what we are stepping into corporately, not just this body, but the body, what we are stepping into, we have to have the entire camp has to be set apart, sanctified unto the Lord. It wasn't Moses that wasn't circumcised, it was his sons. The whole family had to be addressed. And it was required. See, God had shown him these signs and wonders, but he wouldn't have performed it if he hadn't allowed that circumcision to happen. God could have raised up somebody else. See, we're stepping into a time when the signs and wonders of the Lord are going to be more magnificent than we've ever seen. And we're also stepping into a time of greater difficulty than what we've known. See, there's in the charismatic, we tend to think of things in a certain way of you get saved, you get baptized, you get filled with the Spirit, you learn to prophesy. Like it's progressively getting more and more information. And there's something on that level of salvation that we've missed because we skip to the next thing. And that thing that we've missed, the message of the cross, has been lost by the church. We don't even have them in our churches anymore. It hasn't been an expression, and I'm not talking about us not having one on stage. What I'm saying is we've lost the message of dying to yourself. He died so that you could be free, but it's not just free from sin, it's free from you. See, before we gave our lives to him, he allowed us to live in sin so that we could see what living for self would produce. That each one of us has a testimony of what happens if I just live for me. I know who I was before the Lord. I remember that person. I know where that road goes. And there are deeper places of surrendering to him and denying ourselves. It's not a one and done. I die daily. This morning we were singing a lot about Jesus' sacrifice. The reality of what he went through is intense. I was reading through a story of a martyr in Turkey. There's three men, one of them was a missionary, and they're leading people to the Lord. And then they get tortured for 3 hours and killed. And I read that one story and I was like, I can't, like, this is what I was saying. I can't take any more. Like it's too much. And if that's too much, what do you think the cross looks like? I said, it's too much. I realized in this moment, I am looking at this situation different than the Lord is. See, he's not looking at it the way that I am. I'm looking in the natural, and I am empathizing with their flesh. The Lord looks at it, and he said, I consider them and counted them worthy to suffer for the sake of the gospel. It was a spiritual promotion. Why? Because he's not looking with natural eyes. He's looking from the Spirit. He sees those 3 hours, and he sees what they're going to produce for all of eternity. The glory of the Lord is going to come out of those 3 hours. It took me 3 weeks to understand the fullness of what God did in this encounter. And I don't know if I have a full understanding yet. And some of y'all know, like, weeping hasn't, or crying hasn't been a thing for me, but it has been since this. And there's a softness, like he loves us so much. See, this experience, it produced good fruit, but if you were to look at it in the natural, you would say, I don't understand that. I don't know. I don't even know if that's the Lord. But you don't judge the fruit by what the seed looks like. See, we all want the fruit of the Spirit. We want love, joy, peace, but we want it to be like supernaturally just imparted all at once. You don't get fruit without a seed, and you don't get seed without something dying. See, if you take that seed, that part of yourself, and you deny it and you die to it, you sow it into the ground, you say, God, that's not who I am. That's not who I'm created to be. I don't want that in my heart. I don't want to live for me. It will start to produce the fruit of righteousness. Since this experience, I have a sister-in-law who's homeless. She's been homeless since she's 14. The 14-year-old girl living on the street, you can imagine she's been through quite a bit of trauma. And she was, for Christmas, she would always try to find something to give us. And it was, you know, stuff from dumpsters and things. And after this experience, I'm looking at, she gave me one of those shields for your dashboard to keep the sun out. And it's like it's a Deadpool thing. And I'm like, well, you know, I'm not really into Deadpool, but I could use one of those, I guess. And I'm looking at it like it's trash. But I realize she has been looking for days for things to give. Like she gave us for Christmas, she gave us this old TV that she found and it was working, but it was big and heavy and it didn't have any all the parts to go with it. But when she found it, she spent 2 days by this dumpster protecting a TV. Because she wanted to give something. I realized I had been looking at the things that she was giving for what they were in the natural, and I wasn't realizing she knows how to give better than I do. She's outgiven me every day of her life. See, there are places in our heart that we are not aware of where we live for self. And it's not a one and done. We are continually surrendering our hearts to the Lord. And we see this with Jesus at the end of his life. The epitome of this being walked out is in the Garden of Gethsemane. When he is fully feeling the weight and the gravity of what he's being asked to do, and he doesn't want to do it. But he's our example. And the Father is looking at what he's about to put his son through. And he's also looking at the glory that is going to be released. And he doesn't change his mind. And Jesus says, not my will, your will be done. God is getting ready to release the glory of the Lord. Scripturally, when you look at when the glory of the Lord was released, where there's revelation on it, the natural circumstances don't look so good. Ezekiel was in exile when he has the revelation of glory. John the Beloved, exile. Jesus comes on the earth. He is a revelation and manifesting his glory on the earth. Israel is overrun and in control by Rome. See, God will hide the answer to our prayers in places that we don't want them to be. He told the Israelites, there's a promised land for you. He left out the part about the giants. Why? Because it's going to require faith to step in. There's something that has to be overcome to enter into the thing that he's invited you into. It means that if it doesn't look like something you want, and he's leading you that way, where you say, I am trusting you in this process, and I'm going to do it anyway. when the Holy Spirit is poured out upon all flesh, it's not just believers. All flesh. And when he comes in conviction, and our response to that feeling is either repentance and turning back to the Lord, or we reject him, we start to feel condemned and walk in sin. Our church, the American church, is going to change. Rick Joyner prophesied this in the Final Quest a long time ago, that there would be a civil war in the church. And it's as simple as those that are ascending the hill and those that aren't, those that are following the Lord and those that think they are. And in this process, just like the civil war in America, when they're fighting each other, the natural thing is to demonize the other side. And Abraham Lincoln talks about how they had to win the war because of the evil that was happening, but they had to do it in such a way where they didn't demonize the South, otherwise there'd be nothing left. See, there are brothers and sisters that belong in this house, that belong connected, that have chosen a different direction. And this isn't just here, this is happening in the body. They have chosen a different direction. And there is the glory of the Lord is going to be released to bring people back to the Lord. But there's also false unity. In the same way as I don't need you to hug me when I'm under conviction, I'm not going to compromise truth or love for the sake of relationship. A lot of the time relationships require either truth or love to be sacrificed. And I won't compromise either. And I say this for anyone in this room, this church, as much as I love everyone here and this entire body, there is no compromise. We'll fully love and fully stay in that place of truth. I just heard yesterday that there's a movement that's out of California that is a building movement of homosexuality in the church that came out of a anointed ministry, and they are promoting the love of God and justification of sin. And our response is to speak the truth and speak it in love. We are still to love those brothers and sisters that are lost and that are confused. We're not angry at them, and we're not celebrating they're not being part of what they're called to be part of. Still speak the truth. Old Testament, there was the temple Solomon built, and there's Zerubbabel's temple. And there were those, when Zerubbabel's temple was built, it was built quickly because they were under opposition. And there were some that remembered what the old temple looked like. And they said, they started to weep because of the memory of the glory of the older house. Remember, things were so amazing. We had all the gold. Everything on the outside looked polished, but the glory of the Lord in the second temple exceeded the first. See, how we look right now as a church in America, we look a lot more like that first temple. Everything is polished, everything's together. And the Lord is going to release an increase in glory from that. But it's not going to look the same. See, the second temple, the temple was never meant to be about our church buildings. It's about you and me being filled to the fullness of who God has created us to be, to where he can entrust us with the signs and wonders of the powers of the age to come. If there was one person, just one, who had 100% healing in their ministry for cancer, just 100% for cancer, how much would the church, we would prop up that person and make them an idol? See, we'll criticize the Catholic Church for having a hierarchy, and then we create our own. And we have brothers and sisters in the Catholic Church. Like, just, I don't even know what this street is named. Like, if you think of all the churches that are just down this street. In the Hebrides revival, they were praying and they were weeping. There was a burden of prayer. And in one little church, one night as they're coming out, an elder cries out, God, you have to do it. And you can't manufacture it. You can't like stir up your flesh and make it happen. Either the Lord is directing you or he's not. And in this place, he cries out and they open the front doors and there's 600 people there. They don't know why they got there. They don't know why. See, this is what the Lord is preparing us to steward. And how we do church is going to be different. It has to be. It can't just be about the one person in a pulpit. We all have a responsibility that we're meeting house to house. And it's not even that we try to recreate what they had. It's a natural flow of relationship. If it didn't look like what you expected, and I don't want you to give a quick answer, count the cost. If it didn't look like what you expected, would you still surrender to Jesus? In Paul's day, to give your life to ministry wasn't something that was promoted and elevated in the culture. It was the ultimate sacrifice because you were acknowledging that you were willing to die for something. The glory is greater than what things look like in the natural. But if we don't grow in our understanding of the Lord, we run the risk of labeling something that God is doing that looks like judgment and looks terrible, we will label it as the enemy when it's actually the work of the Lord. His judgments are good. He's a good father. We don't always relate to him in one linear way. When he comes like the judge, we respond to him as judge. When he comes like the king, we respond like king. When he comes like your older brother, he's still all of those things at once, but if we don't learn how to relate to him and how he comes, we could find ourselves stepping out in presumption and end up dead like Ananias and Sapphira, or sin. For months, I've just been feeling like this. There's something coming. It's this. I can feel it. It's big. Some of you know what I'm talking about. You don't even know what it is. Like, is it good? Is it bad? And it's, the Lord is saying yes. He's not just giving a one or the other. But you can feel this thing that's coming. And in our natural minds, we want to start preparing, like, I need to go buy some cans of soup or more water or something. Like, how do I prepare knowing that bad things are coming? And in full transparency, I bought cans of soup and have water. So it's not like, I can only tell you what the Lord told me, right? I was like, where am I supposed to invest to like protect things? He said, don't store up for yourself treasures on earth where rust and moth can destroy and thieves break in and steal. Store up for yourselves treasures in heaven. the place. If you want to protect your assets, you're protecting the wrong thing. The best place that you can invest right now is in people. It wasn't compulsive for them in the book of Acts to share freely. It was overflow of their heart. Rather than you be stored up on all the water, rather than me, let me make this personal, rather than me having all of the water that people need, or for my family, and trying to hoard and isolate myself, what if we learn to give freely to the place where we can all rely on each other, where we don't hold on to belongings and things that don't matter anyway? Where it's all available for him to say, hey, I want you to give that over there. Have all of you stand. Just close your eyes, just focus on the Lord. Spirit, we want you to come like fire, like water, like wind. We want you to come like conviction. Lord, our hearts have grown dull. Lord, we ask for your conviction to come in the places where we have lived for what we wanted. I ask that you start to move in the room right now. Lord, even those who are saying to themselves, no, I'm fine, I'm good, I don't have any of those things. Lord, I pray that you would speak to them in a way that is undeniable. And if you're saying, Lord, I just want to yield to you in a new way, if you want to invite him to circumcise your heart, the Spirit is the one who does it. We can't manufacture it. It can't be done through laying on of hands. It's the Lord who's going to do it. If you're saying, yes, that's me, I know that there are things I need, I just want you to just come and kneel somewhere before the Lord. Anybody laying hands on anybody that's up here. This is a time for you to surrender to the Lord in a new way. There's somebody who the Lord is moving on you in such a in an intense way, and you want to cry and let it out, but you're holding yourself back. You have permission to let it out. It doesn't matter. Nobody's going to look around and try to identify who it is. We are yielding to the Lord. Holy Spirit, God, convict our hearts. Lord, we want the weeping if it's from you. As long as it's you, that's what we want. We surrender to you. God, bring back the message of the cross. Father, I pray for the conviction of the Holy Spirit to move. Whether it's now, whether it's later today, in their dreams and in prayers, it doesn't matter when, Father. I just ask that you would mark them right now for a deep conviction of the Holy Spirit.
that their lives are not their own. They've been bought at a price, that they belong to you. And there is a willingness in them to say yes to you, even when it's hard, even when it hurts, even when it looks like something that they don't want. God, that they will trust you in the moment. They'll trust you to release, to manifest your glory. God, make your name great in our nation. Lord, we pray the blood of Jesus over our nation, God. Give us a heart of burden for our nation, Lord, to where we can't keep walking past strangers and not telling them the truth about who you are. More Holy Spirit. Just take a moment. Just cry out to the Lord. It doesn't matter. Like, don't feel like you got to be quiet just because I'm on a microphone. You just connect with the Lord. You also don't have to be loud because I'm asking you to. Just you and the Lord. Back. We thank you for bringing us back. Back to the cross. Back to the place of dying to self to live for you. And Lord, even in the midst of when things don't look like we think, we will not fear. Because you are with us. God, do it again. Do it again. Lord, do it again. Lord, circumcise my heart again. I don't want anything in me, any place in me that's not in you. I don't want one desire in my heart that isn't in you. Lord, I thank you for conviction. I pray that you would give us grace to repent first to you and to each other. Lord, in the ways that we've wronged each other, I pray that you would burden us with a heart of repentance. God, restore your body to right relationship with the head. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for sanctifying your church with your blood. Jesus, we love you. Lord, we love you. You never leave us. You never forsake us. No matter what we go through, you are with us. Thank you, Lord.